You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. Jacob Birch, that's me. Eric Steven.
Yo.
You texted me at 7:03 p.m. Central, so that's 5:03 Central time. What an ass team. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I loved, you sent that to me, and I loved it, because I will get messages from friends, from family, that, usually friends, my family's pretty optimistic, that say something to the kin of, this team sucks, or we're so bad. And I'm like, it's so easy for me to get defensive there. I'm like, no, this team's not bad. It's a good team. Their run differential's really, really good, and they have a respectable record. They're right in the thick of both the pennant, sort of the pennant race, but certainly the divisional race and certainly the wild card race. But it is an ass team. It's frustrating. It never makes sense. There's almost no consistency into anything they do. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say this team is the living embodiment of the shruggy emoji. It's just like, well, I don't know, like, you know, who's gonna show up? We'll get into it, I'm sure. But look, this is basically like, it's like two teams, like, because you don't, you know, sometimes they go off, sometimes they are just, you wonder how they even field a baseball team. And they also have, like, essentially two lineups. You know, it's not strict platooning everywhere, but it kind of is in most spots. And, like, that's, like, people get really mad about that because they're dumb. And, like, the thing is, like, look, and like I said, we'll get into it too, but it's just, like, at the bottom line is, like, no, you know, they're just not producing up to the level they should be. I think Andy McCullough tweeted something. He said, I've talked to a number of NL officials who said they don't, they would rather have the Dodgers not in the playoffs because everyone is pretty, yeah, like, agrees that they have the best talent and they, like, no one wants to face them. And yet here they are as we're recording, and there's no way it's going to change by tomorrow or, you know, whatever, unless we record for like 3 days. They're not going to be in playoff position for a little bit. So they have some work to do just because of how they've been playing and how really frustrating they've been.
So let's talk about the series going on right now before we kind of dive into how the team has been behaving, because that's going to be a little bit of rehashing of what we've been saying the last few weeks. Let's talk about the Reds, as you put them, the goddamn Reds.
The Reds.
out of playoff. They have nothing to play for but pride, Eric. But pride of the Reds is strong.
Look, Joey Votto is great. He's like, you know, it's hard not to love Joey Votto. But they're a terrible, like, they're a true ass team. You know, they're like perennially last place. They were good, like, you know, a couple years where they like went to the wild card game. They had but then Johnny Cueto got shouted down off the mound by the Pittsburgh fans. That was classic. But they're just not good anymore. They have terrible pitching, and they've beaten the Dodgers two straight. They're 6-0 against the Dodgers this year, and they only play one game. They only have one game left. We're recording this Tuesday night. They play at an ungodly 9:35 a.m. Pacific on Wednesday.
I kind of do too.
Like, I sort of hold on to a lot of things from long ago, and like either whether it's school or it most likely work, because like when I was growing up, we didn't have every game on TV, so it wasn't really an option. But like, When I was of working age, for the most part, you could get a lot of games or at least listen to them or whatever you wanted. And a 9:35 game is usually, well, I have to work then, so that sucks. But like, since I've sort of jumped full time into like sports stuff, I don't really care when the games are like. But so I always forget to like, oh yeah, that's really kind of weird and quirky that it's like. And plus, like the first two games of the series started at 3:40. Pacific time, so it's just super odd. And like, those are great, especially on like, so I have Mondays and Tuesdays off from SB Nation, and so like, when I don't really have any responsibility like for these games, I'm just sort of watching them. Period. And like, when those games are done, like the entire night is still here, like it's like there's a lot to still do, so it's kind of amazing. But yeah, so by the time like we'll post this, the Dodgers might have rebounded, but they could be 0-7, which is crazy because they were 6-0 against the Reds just last year. So like what a turnaround! Like it's not that they lost to the Reds, so they're going to miss the playoffs. But that's a huge reason. Like it's like a manifestation of how like terrible they've been in certain occasions. So like yeah, it's very very odd.
So let's go and get into the Dodgers in particular. Frustrating, I think, is the term to use for this team. Because I think other than maybe sort of the middle gut of the bullpen, every aspect of the Dodgers at some point in this season has been really, really good for a extended streak. It's not like just, oh, flashes of greatness. It's like, oh, our starting pitch is going to be great. Oh, the offense and with runners in scoring position is going to be great. They're going to hit home runs. They're going to be have good at-bats. They're going to do kind of the Dodger thing. And then they'll just be, again, sort of extended streaks where they don't do that.
Right. So I looked up something because it was just Bill Plunkett, I think, talked to Justin Turner. I think when they were in Colorado, or maybe it was to start the Red series, but it was like basically how the offense has been sort of up and down, and Turner kind of balked at it a little bit and said, look, well, that's sort of the nature of offense. And, you know, it's not always like that. And he sort of balked at it, but I looked and it's like, since the All-Star break, it really is. It's been crazy. So they are 25-24 since the All-Star break, very ordinary. That's why they're in the position there. And as we're talking, look, not to disseminate a live baseball game, but the Diamondbacks are leading the Rockies right now 6-3 in the ninth. And so if Arizona wins, then the Dodgers will still somehow be only a game and a half out of first place in the NLS.
That too has been, it almost adds to the frustration that the teams, the Diamondbacks and the Rockies will start stumbling when the Dodgers are stumbling more or less with a little bit of oscillation.
Well, because remember, too, like earlier in the season, how great the Diamondbacks started and like how poorly the Dodgers started. And like I'm looking at the Dodgers were at their worst. oh, my God, that's terrible. They were 9 back on May 8th. That was the last time they were that part. So like they've seen some shit this year, man. Like it's been but like, and then even like just a couple weeks ago, we've talked about this, how crazy it is. Like, they got swept by the Cardinals, and the Dodgers were
four and a half
out but of the Diamondbacks, and Diamondbacks are in third right now, even if they win tonight. So it's like, it's very odd. Like, okay, so the 49 games since the All-Star break, over half of them, 25 of 49, zero to three runs, right?
Okay.
Teams are terrible when they score 0 to 3 runs. The MLB winning percentage this year is like, I think it's 216 or 217. So you win like 1 out of 5 games. And that's what the Dodgers have done. They're 5-20 in those games, and it's just terrible. They're 20-4 in the other games when they score 4 or more runs. So like, it's weird. And we talked about too, like, matching up or something like, you talk about, like, the starting pitching has basically been great, like, for a good stretch of time. Like, since the All-Star break, they had the best ERA among starters. And like, they had a pretty good run, even in through the Colorado series, they were, you know, pretty good. And then like Alex Wood, who's been really good for like 10 or 12 starts, and he's probably like the guy who's going to be on the outside looking in if they have an actual playoff rotation, which again, up in the air. But it just seems like, he's still been good. But then on Monday, they go into Cincinnati and he was terrible. He gave up 7 runs and they lost that game 10-6. So like, the offense scored 6 runs. That's usually like a good sign. They lose, and then they lose Tuesday 3-1. So there's like I said, it's their two teams. It's weird. On Monday, Cody Reed started for the Reds, and he did not win. He pitched like 4 innings, but he had to come out because, you know, he's Cody Reed and he's not very good. But it was his 15th major league start. The Reds were 0-14 in his first 14 starts. He was 0-9 in those games. His career ERA is like over 7. And he's also pitched some time in relief, but he had, of those previous 14, he left one start with the lead, and then the Reds. This was like 2016, and the Reds blew that game later and still lost. And so, of course, he left with the lead Monday, and the Reds end up winning. So they have a win with the Cody Reed. So that's the kind of year it's been for the Dodgers, and it's really super weird.
So I sort of mentioned the run differential, which I've mentioned a couple of times because I like checking that because, you know, I'm a believer in Bill James and Pythagorean record and all that. But this does seem like a team that, if any team can kind of put that to the test, just might do that on how much of their big run differential is driven by like a handful of just giant blowout wins.
Right, and so they like that gets into the thing. Like, we talked about this earlier, where they have all these 0-3 games. They also have like a couple 11-1 wins. They won 12-1. They won 21-5. But generally, like over a pretty large sample and like a full season, that will be like, that'll even out, you know. And like, you get a pretty good idea of what's going on just by looking at run differential. So the Dodgers after tonight, they are plus 126, pretty good. It actually leads the National League. I think there's at least 3 American League teams better, if not more. The Cubs are second at plus 111, and they have the best record in the National League. And the Dodgers, like you said, on the outside looking in. Braves are sort of sneaking up there, but no one's at 100. Oh, actually, unless the Braves won today.
Braves are at 99.
Okay, yeah. So whatever they do, depending on what they do today, they could be over 100. But anyway, like no one is at 100. But yeah, so basically, the general rule, like, you know, not that it guarantees you anything, obviously, but like generally, you don't, like, you know, you do well if you have those records. So looked up some stuff. The last team to lead their league in run differential and not make the playoffs was the 2005 Indians. So that they were second in MLB that year, first in the American League, plus 148, basically sort of what the Dodgers are on pace for, roughly, maybe a little less, and they missed. So that was bad. There's been a couple other teams, like a couple teams finished first, like 2014 A's, 2010 Yankees. And then 2002 Angels, but these teams all won the wild card, so they had something to fall back on. Like you said, the Dodgers at the moment don't have that. Like, the wild card is actually, it's a harder proposition for them than the World Series. I mean, than the division, because the Cardinals and Brewers both have better records than the Rockies do. So, and the Dodgers play the Cardinals for four games this weekend. So, like I said, this could all change like in a really in a quick time. So the Cardinals are actually after tonight three games up on the Dodgers. So that they have an uphill climb going into that series, like they had the last two weekends where they've actually beaten the Diamondbacks and beaten the Rockies, teams they were chasing. So they kind of have to keep doing that to sort of stay not alive, but like, you know, help their case. So, but yeah, the run differential thing, it's just super weird. The Rockies, weirdly enough, they entered Tuesday at zero. They have equal amounts of runs scored and allowed. And they lead the division. There's only been, let's see, 6 teams make the playoffs with a negative run differential. All those teams have been from the West, either the NL or the AL. One of them was the 81 Royals. That was a weird strike-shortened year where the league was split into halves, and they won the second half, and they were actually like plus 41 in the second half, so they were still negative 8 on the year. So it was an odd year, but I don't know, you know, if you count that one, but the worst was the 87 Twins, or the 87 Twins and the 2007 Diamondbacks were minus 20. 87 Twins won it all. 2007 Diamondbacks didn't. They won the West, though. I forgot. The 2005 Padres were the worst. Minus 42. What a bad year that was. I forgot about that. They barely were over 500, too. It's rough. The 97 Giants, who beat out the Dodgers in... we're talking about, like, frustrating teams, like Dodgers teams. It has to be up there. That 97 Dodgers team was so frustrating because it was, like, really talented. It still had, like, Piazza and Karros. It had all the rookies of the year. Hideo Nomo was one of the rookies of the year, but it still had Ramon Martinez. It had a really – like, they were just a really good team. They had four players hit 30 home runs, and yet they still couldn't win the division. They lost the series, and then Brian Johnson of the Giants hit a home run. Brian F. Johnson, as he's known. So, it's just – it's weird. So, I don't know. The one thing I'll say in terms of, like, frustration and run differential and stuff, the Phillies, they entered today minus 15, and they're still, like, in a worse spot than the Dodgers are because they've been slumping so bad. They lost twice today to Washington, which is ugh. So they're worse than minus 15. Now, I didn't see what exactly those scores were, but there's something like – I was looking at their – they have free-fall, man, like 6-16 in their last 22 games. They're like way out. I think they're like 6 games out in the East now. So they're really struggling. They were like one of the good stories in baseball. They still could be, but, man, what a free-fall for them. So, like, the Dodgers have like the Phillies to a lesser extent because no one expected anything, but, like, if the Nationals didn't exist, like, everyone would be talking about how terrible, like, how terribly disappointing the Dodgers are. But the Nationals have cornered the market on that this year, so it's a little bit weird. But, yeah.
You mentioned the scouts, but even then, I think the media appreciation of the Dodgers were in ESPN's power rankings, you know, not that those mean anything except of how the media perceives the team, were well ahead of both the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. Like, everyone knows this team is talented, and it's not like a year where, like, the Dodgers have stopped performing like they did in the first month of the year, where they just, like, we ask the question, is this team good? And I think we know this team is good, but why isn't everything connecting in the way to translate to wins? So, perhaps if they don't, certainly if they don't make the playoffs, and maybe even if they just make the wild card, the mantra might be more just, why didn't this team win as much? I'm pulling up. I want to talk a little bit about the schedule going forward, so I'm going to pull that up. Before that, you mentioned to me before we started that you wanted to talk about Scooter. So I'm going to let you do that while I pull up the schedule.
Well, and before I get to Scooter, just real quick. No.
Pre-Scooter note.
Yeah. So, you know, talk about, like, frustrating. And, it, you know, this was one of those things. I think Bill James said this a while ago, and it's, he's not the only one. But it's a lot of things, like, when you – a lot of times when a team's going bad, like, the best player gets blamed, even if it's not his fault, you know. And I'm not saying Manny Machado's the best Dodger, but, like, he's not – he's not performing at, like, superstar levels with the Dodgers. Like, he's 273, 349, 474. He's still, I don't know, his OPS plus, the WRC plus is, like, in the 120 range. Not sure what it is after today. But, like, that's really good. And, like, it makes you, like, appreciate, like, just how good he is. But, like, it's not like, you know, he's not lighting the world on fire. It's, it reminds me a little bit of, like, 2012. The Dodgers had, like, a really fast, like, surprising start, but they weren't that good. And, like, that was the year the new ownership took over. They acquired Hanley, and he was really good, I think, for the most part down the stretch, but just sort of in a normal way. He would pay dividends later, like 2013-14. But, like, in that year, like, Marco Scudero out hit him, like, down the stretch. He was the guy for the Giants, and they won it all. You know, it's just one of those things, like, you know, it's just weird. Like, you know, you'd like to think Manny would get hot. And, like, he was hit at a stretch where he's hitting the ball really hard, and he started to heat up a little bit. But he hasn't really, like, not that everyone, you know, it has to be Manny Wood 2 or something, like, just his name's Manny. But, like, you know, they could use, like, some increased production from him and loads of other guys, obviously, down the stretch. But, yeah, that's just, like, one sort of area. But the Scooter Jeanette thing is weird. So he was 2-for-3 with a walk tonight. And I pulled his number up. Do you happen to, oh yeah. So, he's 16-for-22 against the Dodgers this year.
That's Ruizian.
Huh? Yeah. It's crazy. Like it's 727. He's hitting 727. So I'll ask you this. I tweeted it out. I don't know if you saw it, but
I did not.
There's only been four players since 1908. That's as far back as the play index goes for baseball reference. So with a minimum of 20 plate appearances against the Dodgers, four players have hit 600 or better. Actually, and three of them have been since 1997.
Okay.
I'll give you the 1965 one was Gordy Coleman.
Okay, not on the top of my list.
Do you have an idea who might be the other three? I will say this: they are not like superstars, but like you should know at least one. You know at least one of the names. You know, I would say you know two of them, but like the Rockies lost, by the way. Since that's no longer a live sporting event, it's okay to talk about it. So the Dodgers are down game and a half somehow still. I had wanted to dissuade you from using the normal. Oh, it's obviously Paul Goldschmidt or Jim Eisenreich or someone in that. Like, no,
Goldschmidt was near the top of. So Goldschmidt and Ruiz were at the top of my list.
These are all guys with. They're like no one in their division. Okay. It's like guys with. When I said a minimum of 20 plate appearances, they were right around there. So like one guy's 12-for-19, the other guy's 12-for-20, another guy's 9-for-15. So like it's that level. It's basically like other division guys. Gordy Coleman was a first baseman for the Reds, by the way. In fact, I'm looking at this. If we count, I'll give you a further hint if I can just confirm this in a second.
And this is career.
No, in a single season.
All right.
And what year was this other guy? 97. Oh, I in fact gave. I already said that. Yeah. So with counting Scooter Jeanette, and if he's the fifth guy, four of the five guys Reds. I'll give you a further hint. The one guy that I think you'd more likely to guess is not a Red.
Okay, so not Carlos Ruiz.
Right.
I'm looking that up. So the year I'm thinking of is 2009 Carlos Ruiz, where his split was He slugged one against the Dodgers.
Right, yeah.
With 22 plate appearances. So not a bad guess. I'm going to give myself...
You give credit. I mean, it's awesome that he slugged one. I think you have to say he slugged 1,000. It makes it sound so much cooler.
I actually think one makes it sound like... Oh.
Like it's a unity number, right? So he gets it. All right, I got it.
OPS plus, by the way, just real quick, was 336.
So one of these guys, or my buddy Gordy Coleman, was 437. And he was the other guy. The years are 97, 2002, and 2007 were the other three.
Okay. A little microphone trouble, which helped me, you know, I brought up some mid-aughts Reds rosters just to refresh my memory before I take these stabs at this guess. So, I'm going to guess Ken Griffey Jr.
No, good guess, but not quite.
Okay.
But I will say this, I believe, I'll give you another hit. One of the baseball prospectus way back when, this is how long that book has been around, it's amazing. Like 2 decades ago, I think when the Reds got Ken Griffey Jr., they had sometimes their comments were snarky and sometimes they were, but they had a comment, and I can't remember which particular outfielder it was on, but it was that at some point in the future, will we see a headline or a picture of these three outfielders and say best outfield ever? And Griffey was one of the three. And this other person was one of the three, and another person who was not on this list was. You'll kind of chuckle when I tell you who the other two were, but that's my hint for one of the players.
Okay. So my years are 97.
2002 and 2007. 2007 is the non-red.
All right, I have one more hint. Were any of these players future Dodgers?
No.
All right, start by giving me the non-Dodger.
You mean the non-red?
Yeah, no, Dodger hit really well against Dodger. Give me the non-red. I said it again.
I'll give you a hint. So this player won two World Series, won a World Series with two different teams.
Would you classify that player as a Dodger killer?
Outside
of the season, no.
I'll give you a hint that should give this away. I would classify this player as gritty.
Was it a Philly?
Nope.
Shane Victorino is the epitome of gritty, isn't he?
This player, once you hear it, you'll think. So I tell you, this player won a World Series with the Angels and the Cardinals.
So not non-Dodger killer, David Eckstein.
Yes.
Okay. I'll tell you this. I had to, like, without those hints, I would have put Eckstein bottom 200, like below that, right, as in terms of my guesses.
Yeah. So he hit 632. In 2007, he was 12 for 19, and he had a walk. So he hit the 20 plate appearances threshold. So if Scooter Gennett goes 0 for 4 tomorrow, he falls slightly behind David Eckstein. He would be at 615. So he needs to go 0 for 3 or better to take that record down. Do you have a guess at the other two by chance? I'll just tell you that one of them is that you're not going to get is Chris Steins.
Okay, so that would have been 97s?
Yes. Do you have the 2002 outfielder? I'll give you a hint. He was a rookie in 2002.
2002.
Played in the outfield with Ken Griffey Jr. A famous home run hitting outfielder. All right.
So, dealt with mic issues just then, but I spent the entire time not having a guess, so I'm tapping out.
So the other guy is Austin Kearns.
Sure. Very famous.
So famous. No, I said he played with the other outfielder was Adam Dunn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So those, you know, we're talking immortals here and Scooter Gennett. If that doesn't tell you the Dodger season in a nutshell, Hey, I mean, hey, he did hit 4 home runs in the game last year, and he was really good. So
I'll let you kind of finish things up as I continue to kind of deal with mic issues. I think we're going to talk about, we've got 2.5 weeks left. Is that right?
Yeah.
A little bit more than a half.
Yeah. 2.5 weeks, 17 games remaining. The Dodgers, we talked about this, finish out in Cincinnati, but then they start a bit of a gauntlet. They play the Cardinals in St. Louis for 4. They're currently down 3 games to them for the second wild card spot. And then they immediately come home and play Colorado for 3. Colorado currently in first place in the NL West by 1.5 games over the Dodgers. Like I said, who knows, that could all change in a heartbeat. And then after that, the Dodgers go Padres, and then on the road to go Diamondbacks and Giants. So a lot could happen, in the last 17 games, but it's just weird, like, how they've been playing, and they definitely have to do better. Like, just look at it this way. So they're 78-67. They have to go 12-5 just to win 90 games. So that tells you, like, how, like, much of a, like, sort of drag the season has been from one standpoint there. So that's just sort of where they're at. I'm sure the next time we record, we'll have more to talk about, because we'll have played the Cardinals series, and then they'll be in the midst of the Rockies series. So, yeah, it's going to be weird. But
and
yeah,
then we have a little sunny skies against San Diego, which is, has been a good thing historically for the Dodgers, but certainly this season.
Right, and that's the other weird thing. Like, so when they were down that 4.5 games a couple weeks ago, and like part of the way they made their bones back was they swept the Padres for 3, and then they swept the Rangers for 2. So they won 5 straight against, blast place teams, and then they lost the opener to Arizona, but then they beat them 3 straight. So, like, the opportunity is definitely there. They play teams ahead of them, so they can gain on them by beating them, and then they still have, they have games against the Padres and Giants left. So you can make some noise in that regard, but like, it's like good luck predicting which Dodgers team's going to show up, because they also, like you said, 0-6 against the Reds. They lost 2 of 3 last week to the Mets. You just never know. It almost doesn't matter who they play at this point. Like, you just, they're going to determine how they play. Like, doesn't matter who their opponent is. It's weird.
Well, we'll cut it a little short today. Just like I said, my microphone has been cutting in and out. Lots of stopping the record button a bunch. Eric, say goodbye to everybody.
Good night, Gracie. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you at some point next week.
When the Dodgers will be 0.5 game ahead in the division, and then we'll record and they'll be 0.5 game behind.
That's right. We're going to talk about some very exact point where they're at, which will be completely out of date within like 16 hours or something. So that's welcome to playoff baseball, or pennant race baseball, folks. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.